Take your Bible and open to the book of Romans, chapter number 14 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 1. I'm going to read through verses 1 through 12, and then we're going to come back to verse 9 and reread verse 9, and then I'll introduce our message for today. Romans chapter 14, verse 1, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Now, we're going to go back and reread verse 9. This is the verse I really want to concentrate on this morning. "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living." Today I want to talk to you for a little while on this topic, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time and for each one that's here. We pray that all of us will have open ears and receptive hearts to hear what you have for us today. And Lord, I'm asking, as the speaker, guide my thoughts and my words, and then speak to each and every person who's listening today, please. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't want you to lift your hand or answer anything out loud, but I do want you to think about this. Think about it real carefully, and as we go through the outline this morning, I would like you to think, okay? As we go through the outline this morning, I would like you to think. Don't think about your brother, don't think about your sister, just think about you. All right? Here's a question. Is Jesus your Lord? Now, I think every Christian wants to believe that Jesus is the Lord of their life. And I think most every Christian has somewhere deep inside our heart a strong desire to have that be reality, where Jesus truly is Lord. It's one of the main goals, I think, of our Christian life, to have Jesus as our Lord. But have you ever thought about what that really means? What does that mean for Jesus to be my Lord? How do I, in my life, live a life that demonstrates that Jesus truly is my Lord? So again, I'd, I got to tell you, I really wrestled with this all week. I wrestled all the way up to right this very moment. I think it's a message that Satan doesn't want us to hear. I think it's a message that Satan doesn't want us to consider and really think about and do an honest evaluation of our own life. Again, not worrying about your brother or your sister in Christ, just you as a person, as an individual, as a born-again Christian. Is Jesus your Lord? And how am I living that out? And can others see that being lived out in my life? In the outline this morning, I have a total of 8 statements I'm going to give you. 8 statements I'm going to give you that I think are indicative of a life that is being lived out with Jesus as Lord. All right, so if you just, I mean, really, I'm asking you to just think, just really think. Don't worry about anybody else. Just consider yourself. Just consider yourself. Is Jesus the Lord of my life? There's 8 statements I'm going to give you. They're not in any order of importance because I think they're all important. And the first one is this. Jesus is Lord when I obey the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit without any hesitation or argument. Jesus is Lord when I obey the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit without any hesitation or argument. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, was given to us when we got saved. When you say yes to Jesus, you took him as your Savior, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, moved inside, and he's given to you in your life to guide you and to lead you, to help you to understand the Word of God, to help you to pray, to help you to make wise decisions. He's given to us that salvation to be our helper and our guide. Sometimes, please notice I say we, are not listening closely enough to hear what he has to say. Would you agree with me that there's a lot of noise in this world? And when I say noise, I just mean things that are, you know, vocal or sound, speech, commercials, movies, news, lots of stuff that's out there as noise to try to keep us occupied so we don't hear the voice of our master. You'd agree with me on that, wouldn't you? And I don't know what you think, but in the days in which we're living, we've got all these modern conveniences, you know, like cell phones and iPads and computers and, you know, all these different things, and they're supposed to make our life better, but in some ways they've really made our lives worse. Because they've gotten us so busy, listen, to the noise, that we don't hear that still small voice of God who's trying to talk to us and give us direction and guidance in our life. Sometimes we aren't listening closely enough to hear what he has to say. Sometimes, please notice I'm going to use the word we again, sometimes we might not even like what he is saying. Again, don't answer out loud, don't raise your hand, don't do anything like that. I'm just asking you to think about you. I'm thinking about me. But have you ever had times in your life where you were pretty sure this is what God was saying to you, but you didn't like it? I've had times like that in my life. And I'm being very, very honest with you. I struggled with it because I didn't like it. But I knew in my heart this is what he was telling me. So sometimes we're not listening closely enough to hear what he has to say. Sometimes we might not like what he is saying. But friend, consider this with me, please. As your pastor and as your friend, if Jesus is truly going to be Lord in our life, we need to listen for his voice. We need to hear his voice. And we need to obey his voice without any hesitation or argument. Again, number one, Jesus is Lord when I obey the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit without any hesitation or argument. Number two, Jesus is Lord when I am committed to following His will, even when I don't know it, understand it, or like it. Jesus is Lord when I am committed to following His will, even when I don't know it, understand it, or like it. And I use those three times, know it, understand it, or like it, because there are times in life when we really don't know. We're asking, what about this, Lord? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I not do this? Should I not do that? We're asking, so we don't yet know. That's why we're asking. Sometimes we don't understand it. He may have made some things clear to us, and there's other things that we're not quite clear about, so we don't quite understand it. And then the third thing, which I mentioned in that first point, we don't like what He was saying. But Jesus is Lord when I am, listen, when I am committed, when I am committed to following His will, even when I don't know it, understand it, or like it. I believe this is true. In order for God to trust us with His will for our life, we must demonstrate to Him that we're willing to hear it and then obey it. If we have demonstrated to Him already that we're not willing to hear it and we're not willing to obey it, why would He show us His will? Doesn't that make sense? I mean, sometimes there are folks, and I'm not thinking about anyone here, okay, but I have known people through the years that they've demonstrated to God they're really not interested in what He has to say. They're not willing to listen and to hear what He has to say, and they're certainly not willing to do it. Well, why would God show you anything then? It's kind of like this. Years and years and years ago, someone said, and I have not forgotten this, why would God show you new truth if you're not willing to obey the truth He's already shown you? In order for the Lord to show us His will and trust us with His will, we must demonstrate to Him that we're willing to hear it and then to do it. Sometimes we don't know His will, and of course that's why we ask. Sometimes we don't understand His will, and again we may ask and ask Him to help us to understand it and clarify it. Sometimes though, what He's telling us we don't like, and we don't want to hear any of that, so we're naturally not willing to do it. And if we're not willing to do it, then why would He even show us and tell us? Because He knows us better than we know ourselves. Please hear this. Though sometimes it may be a struggle, we all need to develop that mindset that, Lord, I will do what You want. Even if it's a struggle, I will do, if You'll show it to me, I will do what You want. Friend, again, if Jesus truly is my Lord, then I am committed to following His will, even when I don't know it, understand it, or like it. Number three, Jesus is Lord when I am available to serve Him no matter what He's requiring. Jesus is Lord when I am available to serve Him no matter what He requires. See, if He's truly Lord, this is going to be extreme now. You ready? But if He's truly Lord, and He wants me to walk directly into a fire, then I'm willing to do that. Now, again, that's very extreme. And I don't know that the Lord would ever ask us to do that. But you understand what I'm saying? If He's truly Lord and He wants me to walk into that fire, I'll do that. By the way, didn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do that? And of course, you know the story because you've read it and you've heard it preached on before. Jesus was in the fire with them and protected them. Not even the smell of smoke was on them when they came out. See, that's Jesus is Lord, right? That's, Lord, You want me to have to go through this? You know, like they said to the king, we're not careful to answer Thee in this matter. And basically they were saying, I put it in my own words now, if the Lord wants to deliver us, He will. If He chooses not to deliver us, we're ready to die. But we're not going to bow down to Your image because that would violate God's will. And so if God's will is for me to be in that fire, I'm willing to do that. But again, if He's really Lord, I should be willing to do that no matter what he requires. If I can't put him first, or if I don't put him first, then he's truly not Lord. If I can't put him first or I don't put him first, then he's truly not Lord. Sometimes he will ask us to do things that mean my plans got to wait. Sometimes God will ask us to do things that means my plans have to wait. But again, if he's truly Lord, his plans are more important than mine. My choices need to line up with his choices if he's truly going to be Lord. Number three, again, Jesus is Lord when I'm available to serve him no matter what he requires. Number four, Jesus is Lord when pleasing him takes priority over pleasing myself or others. Jesus is Lord when pleasing him takes priority over pleasing myself or others. When Jesus truly is Lord, that's my goal, isn't it? To please him. To please him, to do what he wants. Not what I want, not what others want, what he wants. I'm trying my best to please him in all that I do. When Jesus is truly Lord, his wishes and his plans are the most important thing in my life. My wishes and my plans, they have to wait. When Jesus is truly Lord, there's going to be some who won't understand. Listen, and that's okay. And that's okay because Jesus wants me to do this. You understand what I'm saying? If he's truly Lord and others don't understand, that's their problem. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just saying that's the bottom line. If Jesus is truly Lord and they don't understand, they don't agree with it or whatever, you have to take that up with the Lord because this is what he wants me to do. And I'm willing to do that. Jesus takes priority. Pleasing him takes priority over pleasing myself or pleasing others. Jesus is Lord. Let me give you the first four. Jesus is Lord when I obey the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit without any hesitation or argument. Number two, Jesus is Lord when I am committed to following his will, even when I don't know it, understand it, or like it. Number three, Jesus is Lord when I am available to serve him no matter what he requires. Number four, Jesus is Lord when pleasing him takes priority over pleasing myself or others. Now again, don't raise your hand. Don't say anything. How are you doing so far? I'm going to be real honest with you. Putting this together and then leading up to today, even right now as I'm standing here, this has been a struggle. This has been a real struggle. Even this morning, the thought crossed my mind, and I know it was the devil, but the thought crossed my mind, you better not bring that message. You better bring something else. And I had a little discussion with myself, and I said, but the bulletin's already printed. Because I put the title in there, you know. The bulletin's already printed. But then as I thought about it and talked with God about it, I'm certain he wants me to bring this today. He wants me to bring this so that you can hear it and so that you'll at least think about it and consider it. I hope you understand this morning. This is kind of the midpoint of the 8 points because we've given you four already. I hope you understand this morning. I'm not trying to lift anybody up or put anybody down or say I'm better than you or worse than you or anything. I'm struggling with some of these things. I'm sure like some of the rest of us are struggling with these things. But the thought comes to me and came to me this week as I was asking the Lord what I should be talking with you about this morning about this very thought and this very verse. You notice in verse 9, again in Romans 14, verse 9, For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived. Here's why he did that. Here's why he died and rose and revived. That he might be Lord. Do you know Jesus wants to be Lord? Now we know this because we all know the verses. We've quoted them before. You've heard them before numerous times. that the day is going to come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We all know that. Scripture is very clear. That's in the book of Philippians, by the way, chapter 2. And I use it often, and you hear it often, I'm sure. But the question comes back again, is he truly Lord in my life? And what does that mean? Because is it true if I just say it? No. No, if I stand up here this morning and I say to you, well, I do realize I'm not all that tall, but I am a starting guard for the Milwaukee Bucks. Well, just because I say it doesn't mean it's so. You get my point. If I stand up here and say, you know, you folks don't realize this, and I've tried to hide it from you for all the years that I've been here, but I am a nuclear physicist. My IQ is way to the heavens. I mean, you wouldn't even, if I told you what it was, it would just blow your mind. Well, just because I say that doesn't mean it's true. So you get my point. Just because I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord, is it really true? And does my life back that up? People watch my life, and by the way, they do. When people watch my life, can they see that Jesus is Lord? Again, number one, Jesus is Lord when I obey the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit without any hesitation or argument. Number two, Jesus is Lord when I am committed to following his will, even when I don't know it, understand it, or like it. Number three, Jesus is Lord when I am available to serve him, no matter what he requires. Number four, Jesus is Lord when pleasing him takes priority over pleasing myself or others. Here's number five. Number five, Jesus is Lord when I recognize that he is the source of all I need in life. Jesus is Lord when I recognize that he is the source of all I need in life. You know, sometimes individuals, and I think this is true sometimes of us as believers, it kind of goes way in the back of our mind. I think we kind of know this, but it gets pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. But everything we have, including our life itself, is dependent on the Lord. You woke up this morning because God allowed you to wake up. Your heart kept beating throughout the night because God kept it beating. Everything we have, including our life itself, is given to us by God. And without him, we wouldn't even be here. Not only would we not have what we have, we wouldn't even be here without him. This is, I think, why Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. We need to remember, you and I as born-again believers, we need to remember that he is the source not only of all that we have, but of our life itself. Everything we have would all go away if we didn't have him. And everything we are, as far as a human being and a person and a Christian, that would all go away if we didn't have him. Once you understand how much we depend on him, you know what I think it does? I think it humbles us. Once you really understand how much we depend on him, it humbles you. And hopefully it humbles us to the point where we don't, like I mentioned in the first thought, we don't hesitate and we don't argue. Because I realize who he is and who I am, and I need him a lot more than I really realize. Understanding this great truth helps us to remain humble and help us to remember again how much we need him and depend on him, and helps us not to hesitate or argue with him when he gives us something to do. Number six. Jesus is Lord when I recognize his ownership and control of all that I have, all that I am, and all that I hope to be. Jesus is Lord when I recognize his ownership and control of all that I have, all that I am, and all that I hope to be. When we are young, most all of us have hopes and dreams, and we make plans for our life, and we have goals and things we want to achieve. And most people, when they're young, they have those hopes and dreams and plans and goals and so forth. And we hope to achieve those hopes and dreams and goals and all that as we move through life. And sometimes what happens, I think maybe more so to the Christian, it happens, I know, to the unsaved as well, but to the Christian, as you're trying to let Jesus be Lord and follow his will and his plans, sometimes as you do that and you move through the years, you find that you get to accomplish some of those things, but there's a whole bunch of those things you're never going to touch. It's never going to happen. Reality sets in, and before you know it, I probably shouldn't say give up, but you give in to the fact that that's not God's plan for you. That's not God's plan for you. Not many weeks ago, I was preaching to a bunch of pastors, and there were three pastors in this particular meeting that were speaking. The first one was supposed to talk about things he's learned through the years about how to love his people more. The second speaker, that was me, my responsibility was to tell and speak on loving myself less. And the third man's job was to speak about loving the Savior most of all. So loving your people more, loving yourself less, and then loving the Savior most of all. Mine was right in the middle. I was the second speaker. And loving yourself less, that's what it's all about. And in that message, I brought up this fact or dream or goal or whatever. When I was in the city of Appleton, that was the very first church that I was the pastor of, and I was there. There was, on my way to the office, from the parsonage to the office, it's not like here where you could just walk it. It was a car ride of about 10, 15 minutes or so. And through town, from one side of town into closer to the middle of town. Along the way, I had to pass by every day Lawrence Memorial Chapel. In the city of Appleton is Lawrence University. It's a secular university. It was started by Methodists, I think, and it's long since left its Christian roots, and it's a secular university today. But Lawrence Memorial Chapel is a beautiful brick building with white pillars out front and seats about 1,200 to 1,500 people, something like that. And I sat inside there one time listening to the Cathedrals. You know who that gospel group, they're not in business anymore, but some of the individuals are, but some of the older ones, of course, have passed on. But I remember sitting in there and enjoying that concert that the Cathedrals gave. Anyway, driving by that Lawrence Memorial Chapel every day, I can't tell you the number of times that I looked as I was driving by. It'd be on my right on College Avenue. It'd be on my right. I'd look at that as I drive by, and I'd say, someday I'm going to have a building just like that. Brick building, white pillars out front, seating 1,200 to 1,500 people. Someday, and it's going to be plumb full of folks too. Someday I'm going to have that. In fact, Sarah, you remember this, I know. I remember sometimes thinking, you know what, one of these days we might even own Lawrence Memorial Chapel. We might own that. Well, I've been in the ministry all these years, and I haven't even come close. I have always wanted to have a nice brick building with white pillars out front. closest thing we'll ever come to, I guess, is if we put out some white pillars out front of this building, which we're not going to do that. But, and I've gotten to the place in my life where I realize, I guess that's not God's plan for me. I have to tell you, it wasn't easy to let go of that and let God have it. But if I recognize His ownership and His control of all that I have, all that I am, and all that I hope to be, then I have to be willing to let go of that and let Him have that goal or dream or thing that I wanted to achieve and have one day. Because, again, as you move through the years, you may get to accomplish and achieve some of those hopes and dreams, but some of those you're not going to be able to achieve. Growing in Christ and growing in this matter of Jesus being Lord, growing in this helps us to realize that we don't really have much control of what happens in our life, because that falls under God's domain, not ours. Now, I do believe this, and I could be wrong when I say this, and I hope not, and I don't think it's wrong. I think there are some people that are so intent on reaching those goals and dreams and aspirations that they do the very best they can to make it happen, and some of them actually achieve that. But friend, if God didn't do it, you know what it is on Judgment Day? It's wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll encourage you to read that. It talks about the judgment seat of Christ and basically the things we do by self-will and our own plans and so forth. When it passes through the fire, then, because God is going to pass all of our works through the fire, wood, hay, and stubble is all going to be consumed. But gold, silver, and precious stones, that's the other category of works that we do based on what God wants to have happen. The gold, silver, and precious stones, when that passes through the fire, it's purified. And you get rewards for that. So when man just by manipulation and other things just forces, makes things happen by his own conniving and his own planning and his own, you know, energies and so forth, you know, you may have achieved some of those goals, but come Judgment Day, it's wood, hay, and stubble. If Jesus is truly Lord, I need to recognize Him as owner and controller of all that I have, all that I am, all that I hope to be. Growing in the Lordship of Christ helps me to come to the place where I'm willing to turn over my hopes and dreams to Him, and whatever He has planned for me, I accept, because that's what He planned for me. Number 7. Jesus is Lord. When I learn to turn difficulties and failures into opportunities for growth and maturity. Jesus is Lord when I learn to turn difficulties and failures into opportunities for growth and maturity. When you and I go through life, there are going to be positive things that happen, and there are going to be negative things that happen. The negative things that happen, you can use whatever word you want to use. I have here in parentheses setbacks, you know, one step forward, two steps back, that kind of a thing. The negative things that happen in life are not allowed by God to hurt us. They're allowed by God to help us. Do you realize that there's some times in life where God doesn't let you achieve what you want to achieve because it's for your benefit? It's for your benefit. The difficulties and failures in life, they're allowed by God to help us. God's plans for our lives include times of sunshine and blue skies, but you ready? God's plan for our lives also includes times of storm and rain and lightning and thunder. Doesn't mean He doesn't love us. It just means He's got a plan and He's working it in your life. The difficulties and failures of life are most often used by God to help us grow, to help us mature, to help us trust Him more than we did before. You and I, all of us, we grow a lot more in the difficult times than we do in the times of prosperity and growth. We grow a lot more. I'm talking about maturing and becoming more like Christ through the difficulties and the failures of life. We grow a lot more. Always know, and believe me when I tell you this, God's plans for you and for me are very, very good. Again, Jesus is Lord when I learn to turn difficulties and failures into opportunities for growth and maturity. Last one, number eight. Number eight. Jesus is Lord when knowing Him becomes the obsession of my life. Jesus is Lord when knowing Him becomes the obsession of my life. Getting to know the Lord Jesus by way of salvation is a wonderful thing, but it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. In my lifetime serving the Lord, I've met people, they were satisfied to let it stop and rest right there. But friend, that's just the beginning. There's so much more for you to learn. Some people seem to be content with stopping at salvation. They've got fire insurance, as it were. And for them, that's enough. They don't seem driven at all to get to know the Lord in a deeper, more intimate way. Hopefully every one of us are desirous and we have a hunger and a thirst to know the Lord more and more and more as the days stretch into weeks and months and years. Hopefully right now you can look back over your life and you can admit freely, I know I'm a lot better now than I did before. And a lot of that came during those difficult times in life. The real struggles I had to go through. Oh, my relationship with the Lord is a lot more than just salvation. Jesus is Lord when knowing Him becomes the obsession of my life. As I worked on this week and put down these statements, again, I have to tell you, I wrestled with it. I struggled with it. I've given you all eight now, and I'm going to ask you again, and I may one more time, but how you doing so far? I don't mind admitting to you that I'm still working on some of these. I'm still working on some of these. I've been a Christian for a while, but I'm still working on some of these. Let me give you all eight again, and then I'll wrap this up. Jesus is Lord. That's the title. Jesus is Lord when I obey the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit without any hesitation or argument. Number two, Jesus is Lord when I am committed to following His will, even when I don't know it, understand it, or like it. Number three, Jesus is Lord when I am available to serve Him, no matter what He requires. Number four, Jesus is Lord when pleasing Him takes priority over pleasing myself or others. Number five, Jesus is Lord when I recognize that He is the source of all I need in life. Number six, Jesus is Lord when I recognize His ownership and control of all that I have, all that I am, and all that I hope to be. Seven, Jesus is Lord when I learn to turn difficulties and failures into opportunities for growth and maturity. And number eight, Jesus is Lord when knowing Him becomes the obsession of my life. The verse I concentrated on is chapter 14 of Romans, verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and living. I think most all of us want Jesus to be Lord, and many of us perhaps even believe that He is, but how is that actually lived out before others? And is it just a statement we make, or is it really, in reality, something that's happening in your life and mine? Here's eight thoughts to consider. Remember, I started off by saying this, didn't I? I want you to think. As you hear these things, think. Is this really true in my life? Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and no one is looking. Heavenly Father, I cannot say that all eight of these things are true in my life. I am working on these things, and I will continue to work on these things because I really do want you to be Lord. But there have been times in my life when I've hesitated. There have been times in my life when I may have argued with you. There have been times in my life where I wanted my way rather than your way. So many of the things that were talked about in these 8 points, I've been guilty of at one time or another. Please forgive me for that, Lord. I do want you to truly be Lord. And I want that for our folks as well. And I believe that's what you want for us too. So help us to continuously work at this, surrendering day by day, moment by moment, ourselves to you and your control. If there's anyone here that does not yet know you as Lord and Savior, may today be the day that they trust Jesus as their Savior. And for all of us, Lord, help us to make you truly Lord in our life. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.